Hi, this is John Giss, the frontman for the band Electric City, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas Podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
And we're back, Youth Ministry Sherpas, episode 21.
Welcome back, Matthew.
Coming to you on a beautiful Monday, Steve Anderson.
It is a beautiful Monday.
Sun is shining.
I needed this day.
Yeah.
This is a long weekend. A lot going on. Grad parties like crazy. Church meetings. Bringing in the new freshmen last night. Man, I am tired.
Not to mention, it was gray and pretty much a steady downpour for like three straight days.
It was pretty gloomy.
So the fact that the sun came out today just made my heart smile.
It was good.
And because the sun came out today,
we did what we do.
We played golf. And it was 100% terrible.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Well, no. It was wonderful. The golf, at least on my end. Steve, you did okay.
No, neither right. of us. We didn't crack 100.
Neither of us cracked 100.
It was not happening today.
It was bad.
Beautiful, though.
In fact, for the first time in maybe 3 or 5 years, I threw a club further than the ball went after the shot. It was pretty impressive. That pitching wedge had good distance on it. I'm not proud of that moment. Steve never recovered from that.
You chopped down more trees today than Paul Bunyan.
There was some serious lumber happening today. Was.
Every time you swung the club, I heard crack.
And I'd love to tell you that it was a heavily wooded course. However, the amount of trees I hit is more a reflection on my game today than the amount of trees on the course.
My favorite is when you hit the tree on the par three. There was only one branch anywhere near the tee box.
Thanks for bringing that back up. Why don't you give me a paper cut and pour lemon juice in it?
Ow. I was still thinking about that club flying through the air.
Now, amidst the chaos...
That was the best club throw I have seen in years.
Amidst the chaos of two very poor rounds of golf, that was one hole. You had a short, you had probably a 15-foot birdie putt.
Yeah, you
stuck that one.
Okay.
You were really upset that you missed the birdie putt.
I did miss the birdie putt.
A tap in par. I opened with a par.
You did.
Right down the center, pitching wedge to the green, two putt, par.
It was looking good.
You know, there's a famous saying in the golf world, blind squirrel gets a nut every now and again.
True. You told me you've had two eagles in your life.
I have.
This is impressive.
I have.
I've never had one of those.
Been a long, long time. It's back when I played a lot. This is either pre-children or very early after having children when golf was still a regular part of my life.
Oh, you're not talking about the mini golf course?
No, I'm talking about real life.
You got a hole-in-one on number 17 through the windmill?
Through the windmill,
giant gorilla?
No. I'm talking about a par 5. I was actually on an interview. The one I remember like it was yesterday. I was on an interview for a job in Southern California for a middle school pastor job. And I was out playing with the senior pastor. And I hit a par 5 in 2. Had about 12 feet left and just drilled it. It was a glorious day.
Did he offer you the job?
Yes.
Wow.
Did I take the job?
Did you beat him in golf?
No, he was very, very, very good golfer.
Oh, okay.
I actually shot 79 that day,
which
is the best golf I've ever played in my life.
What did you shoot in the back nine?
I broke 80. It was the only time in my life I broke 80. I shot 79 that day.
Wow.
And it was legit because I was playing with him. He shot 75.
Oh, wow.
I was like... I didn't take the
senior
job.
Senior pastor Jack Nicklaus?
I didn't take the job because I was intimidated by his golf ability. No,
that's impressive.
I didn't take it. But.
That's the way it goes with golf. Every now and then you hit a really good shot, even if you're not a good golfer, which right. neither of us is particularly.
A good golfer.
But it's fun anyway.
Yeah.
I love to do it.
Last week we talked about sort of these regrets that we had, right? We talked about...
Yeah.
Hindsight being 2020.
The things that we did that, looking back, we would do them differently.
Absolutely.
Everybody's got those things. So
Absolutely.
We thought we'd follow that up today, and we'd talk about things that we do because we did it a long time ago and it worked. We fell into it.
Right.
We just got lucky.
Those blind squirrel moments, you know, where, yeah, I'm looking at my list of things we're going to talk about today. I know there's some things on there that they were well thought through.
Yeah.
But I certainly didn't have any thoughts at the moment that they would be sort of like almost shape-changing decisions that then would live on for decades to come. And so it's kind of cool when that happens.
You were the blind squirrel, you found the nut.
Found the nut, and there it was. So,
and
yeah.
It helped to build the ministry to this day.
Yeah, so we're going to structure it much like we did last week.
Right.
We're going to talk about programmatic things that we did that all of a sudden we look back 15, 20 years later, and we're like, wow, that's still a part of the deal.
Look at what we did.
Yeah. leadership, vision-wise.
Right.
And then last, also personal.
But personal
within the ministry or just personal, like, as a human being? What are some decisions we've made that were like, oh, those kind of shaped who we've become as a husband or a family member or just a human being?
Yeah. So we have a whole bunch that we came up with. We'll try to fit them into this episode. You know, I'm sure we may even think of others as we go along. But let's start with the programmatic things. What are some things, Matthew, that you came up with somewhere along the line in your youth ministry and you put them in place? And here it is, you know, 15 years later, those things are still working. They're like the linchpins of everything you do.
Yeah, I remember real early on after we split our groups, you know, when I came, both groups were meeting together.
Okay.
We split and made a specific middle school ministry and a high school ministry. And right shortly after I did that, it was a parent who actually came to me. I'm still good friends with this parent to this day.
Okay.
He came to me, he had a couple kids in the middle school ministry, and he had come from another church. And he said, oh, you know, they had this event at this other church, and it was just this Friday night crazy middle school game night, and it was really just designed for them to bring their friends, you know, like friends that aren't connected to church. And
right.
You should, you know, as part of kind of the outreach, this guy has a big outreach heart, mm-hmm. you know, really wants to reach out. He said, you should consider doing that. And as sometimes we oft are, if we get a suggestion, we're like, yeah, let me think about that. Because you kind of don't want to do it because you don't want to do it. But as I thought about it, I thought, you know what? He's right. We don't. That is missing from our program right now. An event that is really designed to be comfortable for you to bring your friend to. And so I said, all right, let's do it. So we created this, called Friday Night Madness. It was just 2 hours of stupid games and giving away prizes and it was just, and we just told our students, like, look, the whole thing is designed for you to bring. If you don't bring your friends, we're not going to do this event
mm-hmm.
because we want to meet your friends. We want your friends to meet us. We want them to get comfortable so that maybe the next step they could come and be a part of the middle school group and hear about Jesus. And so we started this, and that was almost 13 years ago now. And that event still dominates our middle, not dominates, but it's a key element of our middle school program, and it lives in lore with our students. High school students will talk about the glory days of Friday Night Madness.
Right.
And it was just one of those things where, you know, 5-10 years into it, I was like, oh, I thought that was a decent idea. I had no idea it was a brilliant idea.
It became an identifying idea.
It's an identifying idea. Friday Night Madness is a key identifier in our middle school ministry to this day.
That's cool.
And I have been in charge of middle school for 9 years.
That's awesome.
So yeah, it's pretty cool. What about you?
There's two things that I thought of. The first is senior banquet.
Mm.
When I first arrived at the church, our recognition of seniors was done during one of the services. Oh, at the time, it was the only service on Sunday morning. We would bring the students up. We'd, you know, pray over them, say a little bit about each one. And I remember one specific year we did that, and there was a student or two out in the congregation who we'd never met, and we missed them in that recognition, and it was just really awkward.
Yeah,
I don't remember exactly the details, and I felt terrible, and I felt like the whole thing was just a disaster. And so I got the idea, or I don't know, probably stole it from somebody, of doing a banquet where you're signed up to come, so we know who's going to be there, and then we'll make extra special effort to honor you, and we'll use pictures, and we'll testimonies or whatever. We started that. It's been 12 or 13 years now.
Wow.
And it has become just a huge part of our culture and our youth ministry. So what I do is over time, I collect pictures. Every event, I archive everything, I label it all, and I'll have files and files and files, pictures of the students when they're, you know, 12 years old at the middle school event, videos that we save from retreats and stuff. And then I pull those all out. I make these grand video productions for the banquet. We make up a fake future for every kid. And what it does is it gives us this closure. Even the kids that maybe weren't that involved, we're able to really include them and,
sure.
and bring closure to it. It's become awesome.
Yeah.
It's a powerful, powerful moment for us.
Very cool.
Kind of happened in reaction to something that wasn't working.
That wasn't working. Yeah. yeah.
So great. That came to mind. Fall retreat's another one. We started a fall retreat. That was the very first event we did when I came. And here it is 18 years later. We still do the fall retreat. We call it the fall retreat.
Wow, that's amazing.
Isn't that a creative name?
You guys are killing it.
We go to the same camp we've always gone to.
You've been there for 18 years.
We went to one other camp one time, but otherwise same camp wow. every year. Some of the same traditions. And it is just the hallmark of our ministry.
Yeah.
Kids
yeah.
love it.
It's interesting you should mention that fall retreat and the traditions. One of the programmatic things that we stumbled into and thought it was a pretty good decision, but had no idea it would be such a great decision. Here about probably 6 years ago, we had had separate spring events for our middle schoolers and for our high schoolers.
Right.
High schoolers used to go to this event out in Ocean City and we just kind of were losing interest in it, and our kids weren't excited about it anymore. And middle schoolers had an event that was same thing. It was just kind of dying. And our middle school director and I, we were just going back and forth. He's trying to find a replacement event. I'm trying to think, what are we going to do? And then one day we're like, well, what if we did something together? You know, what if we did like a combined spring retreat where it's middle school and high school? And, you know, that will start helping the eighth graders get more connected because it happens in the spring. Uh-huh. And so this uh-huh. idea just germinated. Okay, let's do it. And off we went. And it has just grown into probably one of the things most of our students from 6th grade through 12th look forward to the most is the spring retreat.
Yeah, I actually remember you guys coming up with that idea, discussing it.
Yeah, you
well, you were copying our idea because we just do it in the fall, but it's the same idea, combined retreat.
Yeah, and you came and spoke for us 1 year.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, and it is, we're in, I think, year six, just finished year six, and it has been absolutely amazing. And already, we're not 6 years in, we've got traditions, again, that only mm-hmm. happen at the spring mm-hmm. retreat. We play this, it's a DYM game, I think, or it came from Josh Griffin, and I ripped it off from him, Extreme Bingo, which sounds lame, but when you play it, it's unbelievable. You have this wheel of death.
I gotta find this game.
Yeah, no, it's so great. I make this wheel of death, and so we're playing bingo, but then when you spin the wheel, if it lands on something that applies to you, you're just out. And we give away small prizes, but as we get to the end, the grand prize is $100 cash.
Wow.
And so when you spin the wheel during the grand prize,
wow.
I mean, the place goes crazy. It's like you're playing, it's like you're at a hockey game.
Wow.
But we're playing bingo. It's hilarious.
That's
but
great.
Again, only happens there. And so it's just this, it was programmatically one of the best decisions we ever made. And we were reluctant to make it. And God just did something amazing with it. Yeah. Yeah. It was really cool.
I think that's the way it works. We just come on an idea, we try it, and maybe it becomes the great thing that we do.
Yeah.
Which is what we're hoping for.
Absolutely.
So maybe you're still looking for those things, and hopefully you'll find something. You'll if you don't have it yet, you'll find the thing that makes your program unique to you.
We will pray that you are the blind squirrel that finds the right nut.
How about leadership things? What leadership tricks or changes or ideas have you come upon that have changed the way you do youth ministry?
Yeah, I think for us, our internship is one of those things. Never really considered the internship program, you know, to have like a summer intern. You know, we were fine. We were doing just fine. And then I had a former student who contacted me like in May 1 year and said, I had this internship lined up. It fell through. I need an internship or I won't graduate next year. Anything you can do to help me out.
No pressure.
You know, and we're like, I'm in budget for it, so I don't have any money. But if you need the internship, we can put you to work. Yeah, I need it. So, of course, he came with all these requirements of what it was like a school class. So there was these things he had to do. And so it turned into a very, he did work for us.
Had a lot of structure,
but it was more work for us, honestly, to make sure it happened, to get him the experience he needed for his class. And when we got done with it, we thought, you know, if we're going to do an internship, it needs to be that way. It needs to be more about the intern than it is about getting work off of my shoulders or our middle school director or high school director's shoulders. And so we went forward with that thinking, okay, we're only going to have an intern if one presents itself internally and or at least that we're connected to. We're never going to go like put a job application out at a college.
Right.
You know, And it's got to be somebody who's at least leaning towards who we think is gifted towards ministry or student ministry. Okay. And we're going to structure it in a way that we do more work than they do. In other words, we're pouring more into them than they are necessarily giving us. Okay. Now, of course, they're getting work done. And there are things that there are Bible studies I don't have to go to in the summer because the intern's here. So I'm not trying to make myself out like some saint. Like, no, I'm kicking back drinking lemonade some nights because the intern's there. It's all good. But it's more about them. And I was just thinking, I look back, we've been doing it for 6 years now. We've had 7 different interns. 4 of the 7 are in full-time ministry.
That's tremendous.
One of them at my church. One of them at your church.
Oh, really?
And, yeah. And,
how'd that happen?
And 2 of them that aren't in full-time ministry are key volunteers in our ministry at the church and our student ministry. And so I just think, wow, again, we structured it that way almost on accident. Almost, we were kind of forced into it. It wasn't our call, but it's really paid some significant dividends in
cool.
putting people in ministry. It's great.
Well, I'll let you know how the dividends pay off in time.
True.
I mean, he's only been here for like
a couple weeks.
You heard him in a couple episodes ago. Good. So, yeah, we'll see how that – see if he's
see
worth,
how it works out.
Worth all this acclaim here.
Yes.
I was thinking about the youth pastor prayer gatherings that we have, which is how we met.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it many episodes ago. Something that we started, it's been about 15 years, I think, since we started it. And it was just by invitation. Hey, come, let's gather and pray for all of each other, for our churches, the youth ministries of the area. And oh my goodness, can you imagine what it would be like for us without that network and those friendships and relationships?
Think about this. Would youth ministry Sherpas even exist if you don't start that prayer meeting?
What would your life be like without youth ministry Sherpas?
Probably nearly the same.
Probably. Maybe a little better. You'd have more time. No, there wouldn't be any youth ministry Sherpas. I mean, I don't know if I'd still be doing youth ministry. Who knows? But just the depth of those relationships and the longevity of them and how much it's meant to us personally, there's no way to quantify that. So if there's any way you have a chance to organize or be part of a network, you have to do that. That's a high, high value as a leader for your vision of your community and even for you personally and for your church. So
absolutely.
I would definitely recommend that. Another one that we both came up with was getting high school kids involved as middle school volunteers.
Oh, absolutely.
That was a leadership thing that we implemented early. You've implemented it. And again, for Leadership Pipeline, like that is the top of the line.
Unbelievable.
Those are the students who just rise to the top and do incredible things.
I can't believe, because we've only been doing it really formally for probably 4 or 5 years now.
Okay.
And I just cannot believe the difference it's making in some of the kids that do that. Kids that, you know, they're going to do a great job, which is why you put them there.
Yeah.
But you don't know that it might alter what they're, I mean, I can think of 3 people in the last 4 years who have done it and have finished their high school career going, I think I'm gonna pursue student ministry.
Yeah, yeah.
And that wasn't anything that was on their radar before that. To put them in a position for then God to say, this is I'm building this in you. And, you know, so I knew it would be a good idea, just didn't know how good of an idea it would
be. It creates this aspiration in the middle school students to want to become those high school,
absolutely,
those types of high school students as they get older. So it just is a win-win. Every direction.
Yeah, we'll hear our eighth graders this time of year talking about, oh, don't worry, Wave, I'll be back. I'll be back when I get to be a junior, because we allow juniors and seniors to do it.
Okay, we do sophomores and up.
Okay, yeah. So it's building that anticipation to be able to come back. And I actually just we just did a Facebook kind of volunteer spotlight for our high school senior who's graduating this year, who's been a middle school leader for the last 2 years. And as part of that, I just texted her and I asked her, I said, why did you know, other than us asking you, why did you want to be a small group leader? And she texted back and she said, well, I wanted the middle schoolers to feel as loved and welcomed as I did when I was in their position. And I read the text and I just started crying. I was like, this is so beautiful.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's a very cool thing.
One last thing I want to drop in here is we created a position here at our church about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, for a girls director. And I don't know if that's possible where you are, but I would just highly recommend, especially if you're a guy in youth ministry, to find a role to hire a woman in your youth ministry, because it's just going to add this layer of depth to your relationships. It's just our girls director is killing it, and I would do that 1,000 times over and over and over and over again. I wish I had done it 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So okay, that brings us up to the personal side.
Personal side of things.
Some personal. I have a whole bunch of stuff.
I got a list of things too. I think the one that relates mostly to student ministry we've already talked about actually, and for me that was taking the time to invest in a local network. Right.
Yes.
For me, for a long time, I did two. Because I live on the border of these two counties, and so I was kind of going both places. And, you know, there were times where I thought, oh, man, I'm spending a lot of time getting to these. Because you can't just go. You have to invest. You got to meet the people in the network and take them to lunch and hang out with them, or you really don't get the benefit of it. But when I now looking back, same as you, I think, where would I be if I wouldn't have done that? Would I have lasted as long? Would I still be in the game? And so for me, that was just kind of a shape-altering, you know, decision to get plugged in there.
Absolutely. We've talked about doing an episode. We're going to get to it someday, but we're going to sit down with some of the key members of our network and just talk about how those relationships have blessed formed and been so important to us through the times that we've been in our church and how we could not have survived if we hadn't done that. So that's key. One of the personal things for me, two things that my wife and I did about 6 years ago after being in youth ministry for 12 years, I guess. I got my first sabbatical, and our kids were just, we had one who had graduated, one who was about to graduate. So they were, two of the three were kind of through the youth ministry, and we'd been through this extremely busy time of life. Teenagers, sports, youth ministry, just coming and going like crazy. And we stopped and we looked at each other during the sabbatical and we made some really key decisions that summer. First, we decided we are going to date again. So we started date nights as a commitment. We had done date nights, but we committed to every other Monday night is date night.
No matter what.
Yep. No matter what. And we've done a pretty good job in the 6 years since. So we set that aside. The kids know it. Well, they're out of the house, two of them anyway. And we just make that a priority. Sometimes it's a little bit more elaborate. Most of the times it's not. It's just dinner. But it has been super beneficial to us as husband and wife. And then related to that, we got through all those first 12 years of youth ministry and busyness with the kids' activities. And we knew tons and tons of people. And I had lots of friends, most of them former youth leaders, but we didn't feel like we'd invested in our friendships like we wanted to or had when we were younger. Mm-hmm. And so we made an intention to, we are going to invest in these friendships. So we start planning a month out, like, hey, who can we have over next month? Who can we hang out with? And we make the arrangements because it takes scheduling.
It does, absolutely. It takes
intentionality. And we've made that really purposeful and it just has increased our level of
connection
and friendship with people. And I just would strongly recommend doing that too. It's really important. Absolutely. I remember someone telling me in seminary, one of the professors saying, being a pastor is a really lonely place. And I remember thinking, that's ridiculous. Why? I've always had friends. Why would being a pastor be any different? Well, he was right.
It's very,
It does have those seasons where you feel like you know everybody, but nobody really knows you.
Yeah.
And so investing in intentional friendships was something that we changed personally, and it has definitely been great for us.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Real early on, real early on for us, you know, we had four kids, and they're very close together in age. So there were some blurry years back there, you know, in the diaper stage and the early stages. And in that stage, somehow, God divined, we just made a decision that every year, whether it was one night or hopefully a weekend or maybe even longer, we were going to get away together without the kids and focus on our relationship. And boy, early on, it was
hard
because you got to find who wants to take care of.
I don't want to take care of your kids.
Four kids under seven.
Not yours.
You know, and then even when you go away, then there's the guilt. Like, should we have gone?
Yeah.
But we made the decision and we committed to it and we've stuck to it. And there probably has not been 1 year in our married life that has gone by where sometimes it was, all right, we're going to leave early Saturday morning and we'll be back late Sunday night. We only got one night, but we're going to suck the life out of this.
Yeah.
And it took intentionality and planning. But I cannot imagine not having done it. I can't imagine where our relationship would be. We celebrated 23 years of marriage yesterday.
Congratulations.
I just can't imagine where we'd be if we hadn't done that. It was a relationship-altering decision to commit to it, and it's absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Good for you.
Yeah.
We've managed to do that as well.
Yeah.
And that's just, we're celebrating our 30th year very soon. In fact, as you listen to this, we will be on
your anniversary
Jamaica trip. So yeah,
what's the address for that resort again?
Actually, it's not Jamaica. It's Des Moines, Iowa. We're going to Des Moines, Iowa.
Wow.
Yeah. So find us there. Look us up there.
Yeah, definitely gonna get in there.
So yeah, friendships, relationship with our wives. That's been really, really key to focus on those personally. Another thing that I did a few years ago was find a personal coach. I think we might have talked about that at some point, but it was kind of the church was going through a time where all the pastors were encouraged to find a coach to coach them through just some of their blind spots and ministry things and personal things. Believe it or not, I had some blind spots.
No way. That's weird, right?
Yeah. And so to work on those, I found a coach. And I won't tell the story about how I found him. It's too long, but his name's Jim, and we've been friends now for, I think it's been 12 years, maybe.
Wow.
We talk about every 6 to 8 weeks on the phone. He lives out in Kansas City. He's helped me tremendously. He's a big encouragement. He's the one that inspired a lot of what we do as the Sherpas, and it was an invaluable thing to find that. It's not easy, though, so I appreciate the difficulty of it for people to find that right person. It's got to be the right personality, the right level of experience, and your connection. But it's absolutely worthwhile to have someone to talk to about life, ministry, your vision for your life, problem solving, all that kind of stuff. Totally great.
Wow, that's awesome. The other personal one that I can think of, and again, it's really more personal, but it leaks over into just how I exist in ministry as well, is, and I remember it like it was yesterday. Our kids were little. This is probably at least 15 years ago, maybe 14 years ago. We were driving home one day. We'd been out for most of the day. It was a long day. We were tired. You're schlepping kids in and out of car seats and moving around. And we were driving home, and it was kind of nearing dusk. And it was in the summer, and we were driving down this country road, and we looked to the side, and there was this huge field. And it was that time where the mist settles down on the field. And so it was clear out, but just kind of on the ground level was this like cloud of mist. And my oldest...
It was like the Shire.
Yeah, it wasn't like the Shire after a rain. And I remember one of my kids shouted from the back, "Let's run through the clouds on the ground." And I just remember thinking to myself, like, that is the last thing on earth that I want to do, because I want to go home, I want to put you guys to bed, and I want to just chill out. And it was, looked at my wife, she had the same look on her face, but we were like, okay, let's do it. And we pulled over, get everybody out of the car, and for the next 30 minutes, it was like we were in a movie. It was magical. It really, I mean, literally was magical. We were running around, it was, and
there were unicorns.
My kids, they probably were. My kids still talk about that to this day.
Really?
But it really set a tone for our family and me personally to be willing to live in the moment, to not get stressed out by not planning something or looking. It's why here a couple weeks ago when my son says, "Hey, I invited everyone from the lacrosse team over for pasta tomorrow night," and he tells me that at 8 o'clock the night before, that it doesn't faze us, because that's sort of how we've built our family.
That's how you live.
From that moment. It was one of those, like, we made a good decision we didn't want to make, and it defined us. And it was glorious.
It has been a key...
It has been a key part key of part who of we are DNA. As our family. Yeah,
that's really tremendous.
Yeah. And again, I could have very easily gotten that wrong. We could have just kept driving, and I could have put him to bed.
And you probably have at times been the grumpy dad. I've been grumpy.
No, we're not
dad.
Doing that.
Yeah, I got to get you home, get to bed. I got work to do. Yeah.
So, but like I said, a broken clock is right twice a day. So
that's correct.
I was glad it was right that time that day.
So believe it or not, we actually figured a few things out along the way. We're not quite sure how. Happened by accident. Even the blind pig finds the nut. But we did it. So... What are some things maybe that you've done that you've stumbled upon in your life, in your vision, in your youth ministry that have really worked for you? We'd love to hear about those things.
So jump out on either the Instagram account or our Facebook page and tell us about it. We would love to hear those moments in your life where you made a decision based on, it's probably a decent decision, and it turned out to be a phenomenal decision, and it's kind of defined who you are or what your ministry is.
It's great when God gives us the blessing of being able to look back and see what we actually did right instead of just the things that we did wrong. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Hey, if you haven't yet, would you follow us on Instagram? Find Youth Ministry Sherpas. We have a blast with that account. We try to feature a youth worker from a different state every Monday on Instagram. And if you'd like to be part of that, reach out to us. If you live in a state beginning with the letter I or later, we still have time for you. So we'd love to add you to that list and feature you. It's a really cool way to give a shout out to you and your youth ministry.
And if you wouldn't mind jumping on iTunes and giving us a review, that just helps kind of make the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast a little more visible to others. And we'd love to share this with as many people as possible.
And we have stickers to give away. So if you want some Youth Ministry Sherpa stickers, just reach out. We'll send them to you for free.
Drop them in the mail.
That's who we are.
Put them on your Nalgene bottle on your computer and be as hip as your students.
It's one of the smartest things we ever did.
It is. We did. Stickers. Stickermule.com.
Stickermule.com.
I wonder if they'll sponsor us.
I don't know. But we're going to give them a shout out. They're now hashtagged in this episode.
Stickermule.com.
Thanks again for listening. I'm Steve Anderson.
And I'm Matthew McCabe.
We'll be back next week with another episode of Youth Ministry Sherpas.
But for now, Sherpas out.